Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. This is Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, February 27, 2017, and as always, bringing you much inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a huge success. Well, happy Monday, ladies. I trust that you have had a marvelous weekend and that you're ready to focus your energy on accomplishing your goals for this week. I'm excited to be living in this 2017, and, you know, I'm even more excited about all of the opportunities and possibilities, the blessings that will happen this year for you and for me. And I pray that you all are feeling the same way. Now, I've got a great show lined up for you today. Of course, I'm going to do 5 questions to spark your abundance. These are questions that you should be asking yourself at any time to help you brainstorm and figure out what you need to be doing to create your very own abundance. Of course, I'm also going to share with you today 3 things you need to know before you get a business loan. I've been talking to a lot of clients recently who are interested in business loans, but they're just not in the know. And so I thought it would be a great idea to not only talk about business loans, but also talk about personal and business credit as well. So again, I'm going to be today sharing with you 3 things you need to know before you get a business loan. I will have a book excerpt for you today. This is our last Monday covering the book, Awaken the Giant Within, by Anthony Robbins. And so today, we're all going to talk about your financial destiny, creating financial wealth. And I'm just pulling some excerpts that he shares with creating wealth and some of the things that you need to understand and know about it. So I'll be sharing that with you a little bit later on in the show today. Also, I'll be sharing with you our hot topic scripts, tips, and more about closing the sale. Now, all this month we've been talking about closing the sale, and I've researched and pulled information together that I have written and other experts have written, I have been putting some practices into place that have really, really been working for me. And one of the things that I used to do all the time, and I picked it back up, and that is using scripts to make me feel more comfortable in talking with individuals and closing the sale. So we're going to be talking about that a little later on in the show today. And I want to go ahead now, go back and talk a little bit about something that a lot of women are dealing with, a lot of business women are dealing with especially, and that is the topic of fear. Now, I have covered this topic several times over the past 10 years of doing the Successful Woman Radio Show, but recently I have noticed a spike back on this topic of women sharing that they are dealing with fear and that they are attributing it still as one of the things that they are struggling with, fear of putting yourself out there in front of people, fear of asking for the business, fear of telling people how much you actually charge for your products or service, fear of just taking the first step to write your book, fear of taking the step to get in front of people and speak. So women are still having a lot of fears, and I just wanted to address the topic of fear just for a few moments and share with you some of the things that I have done to get myself over fear. The first thing I think you need to understand and know is that fear is a natural and normal feeling or emotion that comes up is kind of like a signal of when we are unaware of something, right? Of when we have a belief in something that could be harmful to us, or a belief in something that we are scared to take an action on it, right? So fear is a natural emotion, but the problem is that many times our fears are based on false information, right? It's based on information that appears to be real, but it really is not real. And so we really need to have a talk with ourselves. We really need to understand first and foremost what fear is. Now, there is some good types of fear, so don't get me wrong, because again, oftentimes we look at that word fear and we say, okay, I never want to have fear in my life of anything. But sometimes there are good types of fear. There's different types of fear that the Holy Spirit inside gives you when it doesn't want you to do something because it's giving you a forewarning supernaturally that there's danger around, right? I've had that before, and I was driving down the street one time in my car, and all of a sudden I just had this fear that came over me, and just this sense of that something is not right. And so I actually pulled over on the side and got myself together, and I said, I don't know what I'm feeling, but definitely spirit is trying to tell me something. And so I decided to just go another route. But lo and behold, guess what? There were 3 fatalities in a serious car crash and accident on the same route around the same time that I would have been driving into an area. And so that kind of fear really saved my life, I believe. And so, again, there are different types of fear. But for the sake of today's show, the type of fear that I am talking about is a self-induced fear that's not based on anything real, but based on experience. It could be based on an experience that you had that didn't turn out so well. It's based on false evidence and not necessarily something that is truthful, okay? And so because of that type of fear, a lot of business women are not accomplishing their goals. Now, if you haven't noticed already, we are approaching March. This is the last month in the first quarter of 2017. And so a lot of women are not being time conscious and understanding how quickly we do need to take action and move on our goals if we are to accomplish them, right? So if fear is holding you back, fear of whatever, this is what you need to know about fear. The first thing you need to ask yourself is, of course, why do I have fear about this particular thing? Sometimes you have to dig beneath the surface and go deep with yourself and try to pull out any experiences that may have caused this type of fear to take place. Some people are fearful of speaking in front of crowds. I remember when I was a little girl and I was supposed to give a speech and kids start laughing, and for years I did not want to speak in front of a crowd. And then later on, I began to blossom and come out of that fear. But some people never come out of that fear, right? So you have to ask yourself, you know, what is there anything in my childhood or in my adolescence or coming up as a teenager? Is there anything that could have occurred that's causing my fear? Because you need to answer that question, why do I have this, okay? A lot of people don't know they have fear because they procrastinate, and they think that procrastination is the issue, because fear in and of itself does indeed cause procrastination. But you really have to know that if you are procrastinating in a gross manner, you cannot seem to get yourself to take action on something that you feel you are really passionate about, then you need to go back and you need to address the fear issue, because more than likely, it is a fear that's causing you to actually procrastinate. Now, once you just bullet point the reasons, then you need to ask yourself, are there any valid reasons? Is there any truthful evidence as to why I need to be fearful about this particular thing? So you need to ask yourself that. So once you list out why you think you are fearful about a particular thing and moving forward with your business, you need to then ask yourself that second question, which is, you know, is there any truthful, you know, evidence of why I need to be fearful about that? Is there any valid, are there valid reasons why I should be fearful? Now, most of the time, okay, up in the high 90 percentile percentage of time, you're going to find out that there's no real evidence, there are no valid reasons why you should be fearful. And then number three, you must be committed. Once you, if you figure out there are no valid reasons, there's no evidence of why you should be fearful of doing a particular thing, then the third thing that you need to do is you need to take some action, because I'm going to tell you right now, action really is the only cure to fear. I have an expression that I used to say all the time on the show, which is it's time to put fear in the back seat, tell it to strap the seatbelt on because it's getting ready to go for a ride. In other words, fear isn't something that just leaves you automatically, but once you start taking swift and immediate action on whatever it is that you want to accomplish, once you start moving against the grain and taking action anyway, it's strange how the fear begins to dissipate and courage begins to take place of the fear, and you begin to realize that you had nothing to fear after all. So fear will literally open the door up in your success vehicle, and it will jump out once you start taking the action to do what you need to do, okay? You know, we've heard the expressions, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Because the reason why you should fear is because it holds you back. It prevents you from doing the very things that are most important to you. So, again, the only true cure to fear is to take swift and immediate action. Now, with that said, I will say that based on what you are fearful about, sometimes you will need to beef up on your training. You will need to enhance your skills or gain new skills or take classes or work with a mentor or work with a coach in pursuing or accomplishing a particular goal, okay? And that's very important to know. You take someone who has always had a fear of speaking. Oftentimes, not having the preparation of the speech itself and not understanding how to put a speech together and not understanding, you know, how to walk into your authenticity and to speak your truth, sometimes not knowing how to do that will really just perpetuate the fear. So working with a coach, working with someone to help you get out of that fear and help you move past all of that will really help you to turn a new leaf and help you to really realize that the fear itself, there was no need for it at all, okay? And I wanted to just talk about that for a minute or two because if fear is real, you can't say that it's not real, okay? But it is based often on false evidence. It's based often on invalid reasons why someone is fearful. And when you're talking about being in business and mixing fear in there, well, then it can stop you from doing a lot of things. If you have the type of business that it's really dependent on you getting out there and speaking with people, asking for the business, it's a really high sales type business, then if that fear is there, it's going to cause you not to be successful in your business. So you know you have to do something about it. If you've been saying for years you want to write a book, you want to get the book out there, but you haven't did it, you know, then it's preventing you from reaching your purpose in that. And so you don't want that to happen. But see, there are small, what I call smaller fears that really creep in there every single day. There are things that we need to be doing on a daily operational basis that we don't even realize there's a fear there, so we're ignoring it. Okay, we need to be calling 3 to 5 people that we don't know every single day, introducing ourselves and sharing information about our business with them, right? But oftentimes, we procrastinate all day long and we don't call those people, right? We need to be going out and becoming the ambassador of our businesses, and we need to be making sure that we are representing our business in the best light. If at all possible, we need to be looking for speaking engagements so that we can build up our credibility with others and share our knowledge about whatever it is that we provide a service for. So, again, fear can creep up just in some of the smaller things as well. Now, again, as I said before, here we are in March, and there are many businesswomen that have not accomplished any of the goals they've set forth for this year. And there are a lot of women who have heard me on the radio show for the last 6 months talk about the importance of a business strategy, and yet they have not developed a business strategy. And so it's this time, ladies, that we have to put aside cockiness, we have to put aside what we think we know, and we really have to ask ourselves the one most important question, and that is, am I, you know, making the money I need to make my business? Because if I'm not, then I need to pay attention and I need to listen to others who have gone before me and reached a level of success, and I need to pay attention to what they are doing and what they are recommending. And certainly, ladies, listen, not only have I reached incredible levels of success with my business, Women About Biz, and other things that I'm doing, but I've also failed as well. And so you're going to get my story from both sides. I'm going to share with you the things that have not worked for me, and I'm going to also share with you the things that have worked for me. And so with that said, I want you to understand that fear has no place with you as a businesswoman, as a leader, for someone who's responsible for driving your business to the next level. Fear has no place there. Okay, because there are things that you need to be doing that require swift and immediate action. And because fear causes procrastination, it's going to slow you down and it's going to cause you not to reach a certain level 17. And I know that's not what you want and that's not what I want for you, okay? So it's time for you to address those fears and it's time for you to figure out what it is that you are not doing for your business. And if it's fear involved, don't forget, you need to ask yourself that question, why do I have a fear about it, right? Once you figure that out, the second thing you need to do is say, is there any real evidence of me needing to be fearful of this, okay? Or is it false evidence? If it's false evidence, then you need to move to that step three, and that is you need to take swift and immediate action. You either need to just start doing it, because if you do, fear will dissipate. It will leave you. If you need training, if you need support, if you need help, or if you need know-how in how to make something happen, then you need to take a course. You need to register for a workshop. You need to work with a coach or work with a mentor. Now, with that said, I want to share this as well. I've had a lot of people over the years that say, Trina, how do I know when I really need a business coach? Because everybody's, this word coach is out there so prominently now that it's become kind of like a fad, and everybody is a coach, and everybody is saying you need coaching, but do I really? Okay, so here's the thing that you need to understand. Don't get caught up with that word coach, okay, because really it is just a replacement word for something that has been going on for generations, and that is people have been consulting and helping individuals and mentoring individuals and encouraging and motivating individuals to take the next level in their life. People have been doing that for a lifetime, for generations, right? So that in and of itself is nothing new. But what coaching has done actually is that it has formalized it and it has created techniques and strategies and principles, proven principles that actually work. And so most coaches have a system for how they guide and they lead you to getting yourself to the next level. And I know that I do, okay? So when you are thinking about or asking yourself the question, do I need a coach? Here's really the biggest question to ask yourself that's going to help you, and that is, have I accomplished my goals in a swift and timely manner? Am I seeing incredibly positive results in my business? Do I have money in my checking account to reflect that? Am I taking swift and immediate action on what it is that I need to do to make things happen? Here's the point. If you're not there where you need to be in your business, there are several routes you can take. You can take the slow route and try to do everything yourself and feel that, you know, I can go buy a book and do it on my own, or you can take the swift route and work with a coach to help you get there faster, because that's really what a coach is supposed to do. They're supposed to be your confidant. A coach is supposed to help you get there faster by helping you have breakthroughs, asking you questions that give you breakthroughs, providing those resources that you need, and often connecting you with sources if they are able to do so. And a coach is going to share with you techniques and principles to getting things done faster. And lastly, they are going to hold you accountable, because oftentimes it's the lack of accountability that causes us to procrastinate, causes that fear to creep in, and therefore by the time we get to October, November of the year, we really have not stayed focused and done the things that we're supposed to do. So I would like to, again, encourage you that if you have not had a Power Talk coaching session with me for 2017, then you have a free coaching session with me that is valued at more than $85. So you need to take advantage of that. And to do so, simply go to womenaboutbiz.com, and up in the top red menu bar, click on coaching. And once that takes you to the coaching panel, just look over in the right-hand column and click on the link Schedule Power Talk, okay? And you'll be able to schedule a Power Talk with me, which is a 45-minute energized coaching session where we can brainstorm about challenges, we can brainstorm about fears that hold you back, we can brainstorm about ways to grow your business, better ways to market, ways to be more efficient with your time during the day. So this is your chance to take advantage of something that truly is free, and you truly are going to receive meat. You're not going to receive fluff, okay? I'm not going to keep asking you a bunch of questions and then at the end of the 45 minutes tell you that, you need to go ahead and sign up for my coaching program. I am going to give you the meat to prove to you that you should sign up for my coaching program and how I can help you. So go ahead, take advantage of that free Power Talk coaching session, again, by going to womenaboutbiz.com, clicking on coaching in the top red menu bar. And once you get to our coaching channel, look over in the right-hand column and click on the text link, Schedule Power Talk. Okay? It's just that easy. Take advantage. Never look a gift. Look at a gift and don't open the box, right? Because oftentimes we have gifts that come to us and things that opportunities that come our way, and we don't take advantage of them. You don't need to be perfect to talk to a coach. You really should come with a coach to a coach when you are needing the help, okay? Because I've had a lot of women to say, well, I was going to schedule a Power Talk with you, but I was trying to get everything together. Well, no, you don't need to pull everything together, because you need to talk to me before you start pulling everything together to make sure you're pulling the right things together. So that's very, very important. Enough about that. Hopefully you guys were able to abstract and take some good stuff from my conversation with you about fear. And don't forget, you know, fear will jump out of the back seat. It will unbuckle itself and jump out of the back seat of your success vehicle once you start taking action. It is 12:29 after the hour. For those of you that have just tuned in, you are listening to no other than the Successful Woman Radio Show. And, of course, we come on the air live every single Monday, including holidays, at 12 noon Eastern time. So make sure that you share Successful Woman Radio with your associates, with other women that you know need to be in a positive environment. If you are a leader of a team, make sure that you share Successful Woman Radio with your team. I want to go ahead now and talk about three things, okay, you need to know before you get a business loan. Now, last Monday, I shared information with you about personal and business credit and some things that you needed to know about that. And so today I'm going to share with you about what you need to consider, take into consideration when you get a business loan. Now, I have somewhat of a different belief. There are some people, you know, that say, I need to borrow $500, or I need to borrow $2,500, or I need to borrow $5,000. But I will stand firm with saying that I believe if you need $5,000 or less for something in your business or to help you move forward, I am a firm believer that if at all possible, that you should not look for a business loan, but that you should bootstrap it, figure out some ways to generate income or cash, either through some moonlighting projects, right, selling a certain number of products or what have you, or at a short period of time for a profit, or you should look at some type of fundraising effort in generating that cash. Garage sales, just doing some various things that can bring in additional cash. And the reason why I have that belief that if you're trying to borrow $5,000 or less is because really the longer or the less money you need, the longer it's going to take you to pay it off, right? Because $5,000 really isn't that much money when you look at it, and it could leave you so quickly once you borrow it. And you might end up paying almost $10,000 back in loans and interest rates, right? So it's important for you to understand that, and it's important for you to realize what's required of you when you borrow that type of money. Now, most of the time, most small and micro business owners, when they need $5,000, they're going to look at a line of credit. They're going to look at a personal signature loan. They're going to look at loans from their credit cards. And again, don't forget, when you look in those areas, it's really going to cause you to pay back a large amount of money. You borrow $5,000, you may be paying back $7,500 to $10,000, depending on the type of loan you get and what your credit score is, okay? But should you borrow money, any amount of money, whether you're just starting your business, whether you're trying to grow your business, then there are some things that you should know. There are three main things. The first thing is you really do need to ask yourself, why do you feel you need a business loan, okay? Most of the time, lenders are going to provide business loans to finance operational equipment, to finance, you know, vehicles, real estate, or daily expenses of your business to generate or infuse cash flow into your business, okay? Most of the times, these type of loans are short terms, like 6 to 7 years, but it's often based on the type of financing that you're going to get, okay? Now, the big thing that you need to know and why you need to know, hey, why do I need a business loan? It's because usually most lenders are going to require that you have some type of collateral to secure the loan. And collateral usually is in the form of some type of equipment, some type of real assets, okay? So that could be your home, that could be your car, or that could be expensive office equipment that you have, okay? And you need to know that once you decide to move forward with a loan, whether you get the loan or not, there's going to be a loan origination fee, okay? And, of course, interest is going to be added as well. So there's a lot of factors as to what type of interest rate you're going to receive, okay? And not only does it have to do with having a good credit score, but it also has to do with the debt-to-cash ratio of your business. So if you have no cash, I can tell you right now, you're not going to get any loan, period, okay? And lenders look at debt-to-cash ratios, and what that means is the amount of debt that you have versus the amount of cash that you have on hand after that debt is paid off every month, okay? And oftentimes, they want you to have, like, about a 40 to 50% cash ratio. So 100% represents all of the gross profit that is coming to your business. And what they're saying is that after you pay all of your debt for each 30-day period, they want to see somewhere around a 40% cash on hand. Now, that's a high ratio. It used to be like 20%, but lenders are wanting to see a much higher ratio at this time, okay? So, again, keep these things in mind. And, of course, the first thing was how can I use this business loan, okay? But there are some things that you need to do before getting a business loan, okay? And, you know, when considering a loan, it pays to be extremely knowledgeable about who the lender is going to be. Now, I've known for a long time that the smaller banks, the community banks, the credit unions are friendlier and more laxed on providing business loans than the larger banks, okay? You go to Bank of America for a business loan, and their policies and the criteria is a lot more stringent than it would be for a community bank. But the other thing is community lenders, their whole goal is to try to get to know you, to try to establish a relationship with you, right? So it's important for you to have a trusted relationship with a banker, because sometimes they can push things through even though you may not all the way qualify for it, okay? So if you don't have a trusted relationship, if you have not joined a small community bank or a credit union, I would suggest that you do that so that you can start establishing a closer one-on-one relationship. The other thing, though, that you need to know before getting a loan with a smaller institution like a community bank, like a credit union, is that they want you to be more than just a depositor, okay, meaning that you have a checking account and you deposit money and you write checks off that account, but that's about all that you do. But they want to see you using other services that they have as well. So if they have a business account, make sure that you get a business checking account. If they have merchant services or other types of business services, compare those prices and those costs to other services. And if they are comparable or just a little bit over, consider going with your community bank so that that actually holds clout for you with your bank. Never, ever forget that, okay? Lenders will also consider equity prior to issuing a loan. You know, if you have equity in your home, if you have some other collateral source, that's really great as well. They also look at how much money you have in your savings account. And I truly, one of the things that my goal for this year is establishing a more solid business savings account, because they are looking at that. Remember, they're looking at how much cash you have on hand versus how much debt you have going out of your company, okay? So those are some of the things that you have to pay attention to. Now, there are different types of loans, of course, that you could go after. But, you know, there is a rule of thumb that I have always known for quite a while that is true, and that is the best time to borrow money is when you don't need money. That sounds crazy, right? But it's true. It's because that is when you are at your best. That's when you're going to have the best debt-to-cash ratio. Now, if you want to borrow money because you don't have any money to pay your bills, that's the wrong reason to borrow the money. Why? Because if you don't have money to pay your bills, there's a much larger problem going on. That means that you don't have cash coming in. It means that there is something wrong with your marketing strategy and you're not generating enough revenue, so there's a much larger problem. And I always, whenever I have a client that tells me that they need to borrow money and they need to borrow money because they don't have any money or because money is not coming in, that's always a big red flag for me. And I always try my very best to save them a lot of headache by letting them know that they will not get approved for a loan. Now, I do and have had hard-headed clients who go ahead and apply for a credit card that might have a $5,000 to $10,000 line of credit on it, and they'll use that to pay off debt to try to be on time with paying their debt. But guess what happens? What happens is that it puts them further behind, because now once they've used up all of their money, not only do they have $5,000 to $10,000 worth of debt on their credit card, they also are going to fall behind on all of those other debts, and it just becomes a huge big ball of mess. And so you want to be very, very careful. So the most important thing that you need to understand about getting a business loan is that business loans are not to replace not having money in coming in through your company. Your responsibility as the owner of your company is to make sure that your company is generating cash. So if there is no money in your business, no money for you to attend important conferences and trainings, no money for you to pay your minimal business bills, no money for you to grow your business or to market or to advertise, then the problem is not that you don't have a business loan. And the problem isn't even that you don't have any money. The problem is that you have a marketing plan that's not working, and you need to have a better plan to start generating income in your business, or you never had a marketing plan and you need to get to work. You need to get back to the drawing board, and you need to create a marketing plan or a marketing strategy, which is very, very important, okay? Now, if you feel that you do need a business loan because you are generating income and you do have money coming into your business, the next thing that you need to look at, again, is what your debt-to-cash ratio is. I can tell you for a fact from helping people to pre-qualify for business loans that you can have one up on the lending agencies if you pre-qualify your own self first, okay? And to pre-qualify yourself, there are three things that you really need to take a look at. Number one, your debt-to-cash ratio. Do you have more money coming in that's going out, right? The next thing is, what is your credit score? Do you have a 680 or higher credit, personal credit score, okay? And then the third thing is, you know, have you been in business for longer than a year? And do you have at least 6 months worth of positive cash flow flowing through your account? Do you have cash dollars in your account? Can they see the 30 to 40% cash in a checking or savings account? That's very, very important, because if those things are not in place, the answer is going to be no. Now, that's for a traditional lender. If you are going after a micro business loan with a nonprofit agency that is a certified SBA lender, then sometimes they have special programs that even if your credit score is lower than 680, okay, and even if your debt to cash ratio is maybe a 10 to 15% debt to cash ratio, they have special programs, special lending programs that they can put you on. Okay, and you will have to check. Each state has its own micro business lender. So you would just really go to Google and put in micro business lender for your state and the name of your state behind it. Okay, and it will pull up those agencies, those nonprofit agencies that have special lending programs for small and micro business owners. Okay, and that's my tip to you on what you need to know about getting a business loan. You know, I help a lot of people pre-qualify themselves for business loans, and if they are not qualified at the time, then the goal is to work with them to help them get qualified, and often that means working hard on developing another marketing strategy to help them, okay? So don't forget, ladies, you have a special offer every year. One free coaching session with me, Trina Newby, and all you need to do is claim it, okay? So I need you to go to womenaboutbiz.com, and in the top right menu bar, click on coaching, and in the right-hand column, click on schedule power talk. Now, it's time for us to go ahead and move on to our hot topic, and that is scripts, tips, and closing the sale. Such a big thing, such an important topic, okay? But before I do that, I want to go ahead and give you the five questions to spark your abundance. Many of you have emailed me, have texted me, and have shared with me your aha moments and your experiences of asking yourself these five questions. And I say to you, bravo, keep asking these questions of yourself, because it's going to help you, right, It is going to help you to be a better leader, a better business owner. It's going to start helping you to generate cash in your business. Here's question number one and five questions to spark your abundance. Who would I like my customer or client to be this week? Remember, we have to go out there and get them, ladies. We can't always just expect our phone to be ringing off the hook, although that's what we would love to happen, right? But sometimes if our phones aren't ringing, if we're not getting inquiries about our services or our products, then we need to get our behinds out there and go find the type of customers or clients that we need to be meeting. You can do that at networking events. You can get on your social media and start looking at various people's profiles. Maybe a service or product that you have could help their business. So you need to go after your customer and your clients. Go out there and find them, okay? To do that, of course, you need to know who your target customer or audience is. You really need to have a good idea of a profile in your mind of who that person is. Are they female? Are they 35 plus in age? How much their income bracket is? You need to know some things about that individual. So if you haven't created a customer profile, you need to do so. Here's number two. What can I do to generate cash this week? Now, when I said the word cash, you need to replace that with the actual dollar amount. So what can I do to generate $1,000 this week? What can I do to generate $500 this week? Okay? You need to ask yourself that question, but once you answer the question, your answers should be different ideas that can bring in money this week, not next month, but this week. Number three, what can I do to be a better leader this week? This is one of my favorite questions because this is a question that kicks my behind all the time. I want to be a good leader. And being a good leader is not always doing what you want, but it's doing what's best for your business, okay? And oftentimes as business women, we are not clear on what we need to be doing for our business because we're so busy being the laborer in our business, doing all of the grunt work, keeping our heads in the computer, doing the social media, doing the website. We're so busy doing all of those things that we're actually not looking at the business and working on the business, but we're too busy being in the business, right? And that's very difficult. When you don't have a bird's eye view of your business and what needs to happen with it, you will lose focus and there is no leadership present. So the first thing I would tell you is that you need to create a position description for yourself as the leader of your company and simply just bullet point. If I had to hire or bring somebody in here as the CEO or senior manager of my company, what would I be requiring of them? Okay? That's going to help you to be a better leader because it helps you to hold yourself accountable to those things, and it also will show you where you need to pull yourself up at, right? Number four. What prospects or possible collaborations can I follow up with this week? Okay, every week you should be having prospects and opportunities and possible collaborations. That means that there should be activity, communication and activity going on in your company. Somebody should be calling you to ask about your service or product, or somebody should be filling out a form to say, yes, I'm interested in what you have to offer. If not, back to the drawing board you go because your marketing strategy is not working. Here's number five. What are ways I can market and promote my business this week? This is a very important question because, as you know, marketing and promotion is one of the key foundations of any small business. So if you're not consistently marketing, if you don't have a sales funnel that that is helping you to close the sale and communicating with a person from the first time that they contact you for a specific amount of time to drive the closing of that sale, then your marketing strategy is not only not working for you, but you don't have a sales strategy as well. That's very, very important. So, lady, these are the five questions to spark your abundance. Remember, you have the power to create your streams of abundance, and it all begins with you taking the right action at the right time. Well, we are headed right on into our book of the month. I actually had this book, Awaken the Giant Within, on my iPhone, and I had it on my iPad. And the one thing that I have learned is that when you're trying to read it, as I do, read excerpts, it's kind of difficult. I couldn't find the hard copy of my book. It's somewhere around my home, but I couldn't find the hard copy. But I want to read for you from the book. And so I have pulled a few segments out. So forgive me if I'm slowing down a little bit because my iPad is slow for some reason with my Kindle. And so I want to go ahead and I want to read an excerpt, though, for you from the book Awaken the Giant Within by Anthony Robbins, okay? He says, the key to wealth, and this is the part that I think is so very, very important. And for those of you who have the book, I'm reading from page 460. He says, the key to wealth is to be more valuable. If you have more skills, more ability, more intelligence, specialized knowledge, a capacity to do a few things, a few other things other than what you normally have been doing, or if you just think creatively and contribute on a massive scale, you can earn more than you ever thought possible. The single most important and potent way to expand your income is to devise a way to consistently add real value to people's lives and you will prosper. For example, why is a doctor paid more than a doorman? The answer is simple. The doctor adds more value. He has worked harder and developed himself so that he is worth more in terms of his capacity to add measurable value to people's lives. Anyone can open a door. A doctor opens the doors of life. Okay? Why are successful entrepreneurs so well rewarded financially in our culture? It's because they add more value than virtually anyone around them. There are two primary benefits that entrepreneurs create. First, they obviously add value to their customers by increasing the quality of their lives through the use of their products or services. This, by the way, is critical for any company to prosper. So often, companies forget that their real purpose for being is not just to make a profit. While a profit is an absolute must for a company to survive and flourish, like eating or sleeping, a necessity, it's not the real purpose. The true purpose of any corporation is to create products and services that increase the quality of life for all customers they serve. If this is achieved on a consistent basis, then profit is absolutely assured. However, a company can profit in the short term and not be here in the long term if it doesn't continually add value to people's lives. This holds true for corporations as well as for individuals and small businesses. He says the second thing that entrepreneurs do is that in creating their products, they create jobs. Because of these jobs, the employees' children can go on to higher education, become doctors, lawyers, teachers, social workers, and so forth, add value to our society, okay? The chain of value is never ending. When Ross Perot was asked for the secret of his wealth, he said, what I can do for this country is create jobs. I'm pretty good at that, and Lord knows we need them. The more value you contribute, the more you will earn if you put yourself in the position to do so. The lesson here is simple. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to add more value, but what you must do every day is to continually expand your knowledge, your skill, and your ability to give more. This is why self-education is so critical. He says, I became a very wealthy man at an extremely young age for one reason. I mastered skills and abilities that could instantaneously increase the quality of life for virtually anyone. Then I figured out how a way to share that information and those skills with a huge number of people in a short period of time. As a result, I have prospered not only emotionally, but financially as well. If you want to earn more money where you are today, one of the simplest ways to do so is to ask yourself, how can I be worth more to this company? How can I help it to achieve more in less time? How could I add a tremendous amount of ways that I could help cut costs and increase quality? What new system could I develop? And these are very, very important questions because when you ask yourself questions, you expand yourself with your answers and you're able to have what I call those aha moments. He says, if we can help people do more with less, then we are truly empowering others, and we will be empowered economically as well, as long as we put ourselves in a position to do so. And so that came from the book Awaken the Giant Within, How to Take Immediate Control of Yourself and Your Finances, okay? And I think that is very true. You have to have something that is valuable, that is meeting a need. And that leads me into our hot topic of the day, scripts and tips in closing the sale. You know, closing the sale remains a challenge for many businesswomen. As a matter of fact, most small business owners have no problem with sharing information about their business, but what most don't know is that it's not the information about your business that's actually most important. It's knowing what the prospective customer client needs are and how your business can be the solution. Now, without knowing this, it's almost impossible to close the sale. So, ladies, I want to share with you scripts and tips on closing the sale. Let's start with scripts and how they can play a role in breaking the ice and helping you to feel more comfortable. You know, sales scripts can be formatted in different ways, and I personally have used sales scripts for a very long time. They help me to feel more comfortable. They help me to break the ice. They help me to, they provide a level of support when nobody else is there to provide that support. They provide support to me, and they remind me of important things that I need to say when I am talking to a client. Now, you can include your script right in a presentation. This could be a PowerPoint printed in a flip chart if you're doing a one-on-one, or from your iPad or your notepad or computer. The important thing you should know about a sales script is that it should, number one, 3 to 5 questions you need to know about your prospect's needs. Now, only you can come up with those questions based on your business industry, okay? So very, very important. A lot of the times, a lot of businesswomen don't know the top 3 to 5 questions that they need to ask. And so you need to really look at that. What are the top 3 to 5 questions you should know about your prospect? Oftentimes, you have individuals who are doing a one-on-one, you know, and their goal really is to, wow, I would love to walk away with this person being a member of my group or being my customer or being my client or having purchased a certain number of products. However, you don't set the whole meeting up for that to happen. You can't just go sit down with a customer or client, do a one-on-one, and just brag about your business the whole entire meeting. And that's what happens often. And when a person, you think that you're impressing them, but actually what you're doing is you're turning them off. When you start listing off, when you start bragging in a way that, you know, oh, my business has done this, and for this I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done that, you know, you're kind of like rolling out your accomplishments. And that's not going to, how is that going to help the person with their problems and their needs? So here's a rule of thumb. Your top 3 to 5 questions really need to be all about the prospect, okay? And it needs to, there need to be questions based on your business industry that are going to help you to address your prospect's needs, help you to come up with solutions. Here's number two. Be ready to address the answers you receive by identifying the solutions and exactly how you can help. So this plays right into right from question number one with, you know, asking the top 3 to 5 questions, okay? It is the questions that you ask that will always help you in closing the sale. And so this is why oftentimes a script is needed. Most of the time, we're talking to our customers or prospects over the phone, right? And so having a script in front of you, again, is not only going to support you and give you that level of encouragement and motivation that you need, but it's going to remind you of the questions and the things that you need to be saying. It's going to keep you structured and organized, right? Now, I want you to have this side note, though. This is why having a client intake form or an online form is necessary, especially if you are a service business. Now, a client intake form is a form that is not only going to have, you know, just the basic information about giving me your contact information, but it is going to be structured with those questions that you need to know. And the client intake form can be, you can fill out the answers yourself as you're asking the customer questions, right? Or it's a form that you're going to email to them as an attachment and have them to complete before you meet. Or it's going to be an online form that where they can fill in the information and ask, you know, and answer the questions. Now, take Women About Biz, for example. I mentioned to you about scheduling a Power Talk coaching session with me. For those of you that have done that or do that, you will notice that I have a structured system already set up. You know, when you click on schedule a Power Talk, you will notice that I have an online form for you to fill out. You'll select the time that you want to schedule the Power Talk, right? And then it will then lead you to an online form for you to fill out information, questions that I need to know that are not only going to help me to close a sale, but it's also going to help me to better serve you, right? And so this is what I'm talking about. When you don't have that, when you don't ask the right questions, what happens is that you completely forget. And I don't know how many of you on the call today have listened to the show for a long time, but those of you that have might remember me telling you the story of a person calling my office, needing my assistance, needing my help, and literally saying that they needed it. You know, they told me the budget that they had, that they had interviewed other coaches, that they, you know, but they, you know, had several people that had referred me, and they and so I got so excited and so caught up in that that I said to them, okay, not a problem. I'm going to send you this. I'm going to send you that, and then I'm going to follow up with the call, and then I hung up. Well, guess what? And this is the truth. I never asked them their first and last name, and I never got an email, and I never got a phone number. Can you believe that? And that was a huge loss because that poor person was thinking that I never wanted to talk with them, that I didn't want to communicate. And because the conversation was a fast-paced conversation, they probably thought that they gave me that information or that I at some point had asked them that information because it was a very friendly conversation when indeed it, you know, I had not. And so it was a very panicked moment for me because I go, I can't believe I just hung up the phone and did not get a person's contact information. And it was at that point, that lessons learned for me, that I developed a client intake form so that I would not forget those most important things that was going to help me to properly communicate with my prospect. So let that be a lesson learned for you as well so that you don't have to go through that information. Another thing is you shouldn't have to be guessing how to structure your proposal to an individual or what products you need to pull out that are best for that customer because your top 3 to 5 questions should provide those answers to you. The customer or the prospect most of the time is really going to give you the information you need to close the sale. Never forget that, okay? They're going to give you that information. Now, you can have your sales script prepared in notes format as well. This is often, okay, used when you're speaking over the phone or via chat. Consider practicing your script with a partner. This is something that's very important. Yes, actually role play with someone and get used to interacting, stating your benefits and how you can be the solution. Don't forget to record it using perhaps your mobile phone recorder so you can hear yourself. I speak in role play all the time by myself, speaking into my mobile phone recorder of how I sell because it helps me to correct things that I may have misspoke on. It helps me to focus and say the right things, okay? Now, finally, make sure you have an ask the sale line in your script. Ladies, this is very important because, you know, I talked earlier about how some women have a fear of asking for the sale, right? But when you put an ask for the sale line in your script, then it's easier for you to be mindful of it and to ask for that sale. Here are some ask for the sale lines that might sound familiar to you. You know, what would it take for you to be my client. After knowing how I can help you with your challenges, what would it take for you to be my client? What can I do to make it easier for you to be my client? What would it take for you to purchase this product? Okay, how about this? May I offer you a sample so you can experience the product firsthand? See, these are questions that the prospect has to answer, give you an answer for which then helps you to go ahead and finalize and close the sale, okay? Some other tips that I want to share with you about closing the sale is make sure that you focus on the customer and not the deal or not the actual product or service that you're trying to sell, okay? It's very easy to focus on what you want, but make sure you stay focused on what the challenge or the problems are the solutions to you offering that to the customer, okay? The other thing that I think is very important, and this is something that I have experienced firsthand more than two or three times, is that you need to make sure you know your product or service, okay? But you need to sell the benefits of it and not just the product or service itself, okay? You can't say, well, as you know, this is this service or this product is in great demand. Everybody's getting it. But how is that helping the customer? As you know, this service can help you do this, this, or that. Product can make you feel this way or that way or can remedy this or that, okay? Oftentimes, customers can't translate features and functions. They only know what they're feeling, okay? Here's another tip. Make sure you research and know about the customer before you have a conversation with them, if at all possible. Now, this is where the client intake form, especially for you service providers, this is where the client intake form is especially important, okay? Another tip is, you know, make sure that if you can't help the customer with something that they need, just don't hang up the phone and say, well, if you're not getting my service, I'm not helping you at all. Because oftentimes, this is how referral partners are created. So if what you have can't help the customer, take the time, go the extra mile in finding someone who can provide the service or a product to your customer, okay? Because you're still going to be communicating with them, right? You're not just going to cut it just because they don't purchase your product or service at that time, right? Very, very important, okay? And then, you know your competitive edge, okay? Don't be scared if your customer is talking about another competitor or asking you, have you ever heard of this company before, or have you ever heard of this or that? Don't be scared of that. Okay, tackle it head on, but you need to know what your competitive edge is in order to tackle that, okay? For example, give your competitor a kind word. Make sure you speak well of your competitor if you know about your competitor. Oh, yes, I'm very familiar with them, and they are a good company. And how we compare to them and how we are different than them is this, that, and the other. Craft your message. Craft what you're saying to show them, here's my competitive edge. And if necessary, give the customer or the prospect a taste of what you can provide by offering a sample, a free product, or a free consultation or session or what have you. That almost always will help you to close the sale. Now, that's very, very important, okay? The last but not least, the one thing that I want you to understand is that you cannot be so concerned about closing the sale, however, that it appears that you are a pink plaid jacket saleswoman. Be very careful about that, okay? We've all had crazy experiences with car salesmen, with very aggressive salespeople trying to get us to buy something, and it wasn't a good experience. As a matter of fact, you know, I have had people to call me on the phone from a telemarketing standpoint, and when I try to stop them from talking, they won't stop talking. This is a live caller. They won't stop talking long enough to hear what I'm trying to say, and I just hang up because it just completely frustrates me. And so, again, you want to be mindful of your prospect. You want to make sure that it's all about them because, remember, the customer truly can make or break your business. and you're trying to generate revenue, you're trying to bring money in. So I hope that you have enjoyed the topic of scripts and tips for closing the sale today. I hope that you have enjoyed all of our topics this month about closing the sale, because this is something that's very, very important for business women. I am going to be putting up on the Successful Woman Radio Show website a repeat of all of the broadcasts. For those of you that don't know it, we had to take the Successful Woman Radio site down, unfortunately, because someone decided to put malware on our site. And so we've had to literally take it down, rebuild it, clean it up, and put it back up again. So that's going to take us the rest of this week to do, but we will be getting it back up there. In the meantime, if you are not a fan of our fan page on Facebook, make sure that you become a fan, because that's where I'm going to be putting up a lot of our previous broadcasts from this month. Also, I'm going to be putting up previous broadcasts on our website, Women About Biz. I truly hope you have enjoyed today's radio show and that you have gained and received some valuable tips and ways to close the sale. I want to leave you with this. Let it be your week to step up and step out in the role of leadership and ownership. Ensure that you are clear on your goals for the week in the areas of sales, marketing, and follow-up. And remember, you must hold your business in priority if you expect it to yield profitable results. This is Trina Newby with Women About Biz and host of the Successful Woman Radio Show saying, have an abundant week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.